getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. Hanging out with you for a Wednesday edition. Clint Scott, Chris Snead, Jackson Frazier behind the glass. Taking care of us.
Henpeck battle axe weed strain.
I told you, you had the henpecked battle axed ladies yelling every time. I had the couple in front of me who were a little tipsy, who did not like who I was cheering for. We did not make friends with them. The older family, it was like a husband and wife, and then like they brought like their two sisters or something. They were very nice to talk to. And then there was a younger family behind me who daughter somewhere around young grade school age, who at first, you know, Kevin McCullough starting for Kansas Jayhawks, of course, gets announced last, and, you know, the boos expected. It wasn't, I'll be honest, the boos weren't quite as loud as I thought they would be. I mean, they're plenty loud, but it was, Jamie and I talked about this yesterday. What was it going to be comparatively, Kevin McCullough this year to Chris Beard last year? And nothing was going to be as close to Chris Beard coming last year, but I was wondering how big that gap was.
I think the difference is that he had, you probably had half the students that you normally would have there. In fact, you might have had a third of the students you had, because you had the lower bowl of the student section in the end zone. There were hardly any in the upper section, and the sideline where the students normally sit on the east side had no, those were all sold tickets.
Yeah.
So you had about a third of what you normally would have. The students would have made that terrible for him.
Yeah.
For McCullough.
And again, I mean, still the expected, the boos were there every time he touched the ball. There was you know, the FU Kevin chants, all of those. But
the first time that started, the nice lady behind me, she goes, "What are they saying?" And I said, I think the student's commentary is brought to you by the letters F and U.
Yeah. Oh my.
And she's like, Oh.
The grade school age girl though behind me, when they announced Kevin McCullough, she just screams traitor. Like all of the passion that's already instilled in her as a young Red Raider.
I love
But I was like, this is gonna be an annoying family to sit in front of. And then I started laughing when she was chanting baloney to the BS chants with them all the way in, chanting "Forget you, Kevin" instead of "F you, Kevin." They were awesome. They were nice to talk to. We get this from Tyler on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Defense went a little flaccid.
I don't know about that. I think that we had a hard time defending the perimeter, but I don't know that those guys, anytime that someone came into the paint, they felt it. I mean, and it was a physical game on both ends, which is, you know, the thing that you hear about, you know, referees swallow the whistle at the end. I didn't really swallow the whistle at the end. The game was called fairly loosely. They let the teams play all night long. I mean, I think at the first half there was like 5 and 3 fouls for Kansas and Texas respectively.
Yeah.
And I think it ended up 7 and 5 in the second half for Kansas and Texas Tech respectively. They let them play quite a bit. And the problem that we as fans all have, and then we talked about this in the break, is that we want Texas Tech to be able to play defense inside of their shorts. Okay? Do whatever we want to do. But if somebody breathes too hard near one of our players, we want a foul called. And we want it to be a flagrant, technical, intentional foul where it's 2 shots in the ball. Okay? And that's not just here at Texas Tech. That's everywhere. The Kansas fans who were there were thinking the exact same thing the other way. And in Austin, when K-State, they're all, everyone everywhere thinks that.
That's what final foul count was. Tech finished with 6.
Yeah.
Kansas was at the charity stripe 4 times.
Yeah.
And from the other side, that was being yelled the entire game. Again, we talked about this in the break, right? It was physically called. Do I think, like, for me, that last one was a foul? Absolutely. But I also think that, to what you said in the break, is exactly how Self approaches that situation. He was probably trying to get a foul. He was probably trying to get that foul, and it wasn't called.
And it wasn't called. Because you've seen Bill Self defenses at the end of games. They're going to foul if they go, because it was 25 seconds on the clock, 24 on the shot clock. He was going to foul us early in the shot clock. We took a drive to the basket. I think there was 17 seconds to go, or maybe 12 seconds to go in the game. And then there was a run out. We don't get the call. I don't know.
Again, this is something that you've seen. This has been the approach by the Jayhawks, is play physically. Mm-hmm. If you get the foul, you get the foul. Don't give up the bucket, and then we can play for the last shot or whatever that looks like at the end.
What you do, we got to go down and we got to make two free throws. If not, we get a one-point lead, and then you got 12 seconds to go down there and run your offense and get a good shot. Hey, you got five guys on the court that can shoot it from 23 feet out there, so I feel pretty good about their chances. I mean, I think that's what Bill Self's thinking.
Yeah. It was a similar approach to the week before with Oklahoma State. It was. Mm-hmm. Now, not the very last play. That's where with a second left, obviously you're not playing for we'll play physically with 1 second and get another shot there.
Yeah.
But the possession before, that was absolutely the mindset. I've watched them do that for a decade. Mm-hmm. We get this from Bullfighter. You ain't kicking this old man's A on his birthday, Grandpa.
Yeah, well, you get shoved kicked by a grandpa. Maybe I'll carry my granddaughter with me while I'm kicking your ass. How about that?
Oh, you should. Yeah. You should. Like a football. Just
put her on my back. Running up and down the foul pole race.
We get this on the chat line into what we were talking about. Reasons Tech lost in order. One, Kansas is a better team right now. Two, poor perimeter defense. Three, poor inbound defense. Four, rebounding. Five, officials. When they swallow the whistles at the end of the game, they affect the outcome.
Except they didn't swallow the whistle at the end of the game. They swallowed the whistle the entire game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that game was played. I mean, they let y'all play. Mm-hmm. Okay? They let Tech and Kansas play the game. And there was big boy basketball being played out there, and they let them do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yes, if that kind of game was played with three other officials, you probably would have been in the double bonus somewhere around the 10-minute mark in both halves. And it would have been a free throw fest. But they let the two teams play physical all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And we just can't get upset because on the way to the bucket, you know, that they didn't call a foul. We didn't call a foul on the other end when we absolutely mauled their guy going to the bucket. Mm-hmm. And we come away with the ball. We didn't say anything about that. Mm-hmm. We actually mauled their guy.
Mm-hmm. We get this from, oh, my bad, Tyler. He said that was a Grady Dick joke to the defense falling flaccid.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
There were plenty of those
I
around.
I called the ballot guy. I'm say his name.
T-Money says Kevin got off light because school is still out.
I think if students had been here and this game had been played January 19th, I think that could have been bad.
So if Chris Beard last year was a 10, and students were in what would have been in a 9?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the students, I don't know. It could have been in an 11 because the students may or may not have a little bit more because he's one of them, supposedly one of them, and left us to go be with those guys.
Hmm. I don't know. I still think it would have been closer to the 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think anything would ever top, you know, the Beard situation and Beard leaving to Texas. I just don't think that would get topped. But I do think it would have been much, much louder. And again, it was still the boos and the hate and the anti-McCuller, which, again, and I know I'm coming from a different perspective, that should have happened. That absolutely, and if it were to happen to the other university, I would be doing the same thing. That's the beauty of being a passionate fan base in college basketball, and you went to the team you've been trying to behead as a conference.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, and the reality is, with this age of NIL and open transfers and things like that, you know, it's like, oh, he's a college kid. No, he's not. He's a free agent mercenary. That's what he is. He went to where he got the biggest deal, the best deal.
Yeah, now that it's contracts.
Oh, absolutely.
It's basketball contracts. It's football contracts. And pick the sport.
And if you think that our guys, and you know, if you're naive enough to think that our guys are hot, we all love the victory bells. We all love Will Rogers and the golden red spread. We all love that out here. No, we got a great NIL deal. We got a great NIL deal for all of our players out here.
And the other side of that, too, is, I mean, I don't think, you know, last year when it first happened, there was kind of that, oh, I don't understand why there's all this hate coming towards me and towards my decision. I think that that was thrown away to the wayside. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he expected that and knew that was going to happen. And if he didn't, and if the Kansas coaching staff did not get him mentally prepared for that, then that would have been on them. But again, that's just part of it's part of what college basketball is
it
now.
It is all college athletics, not college basketball. It's college athletics now. Mm-hmm. I mean, now football and basketball are going to be the poster children for this, but you're going to start seeing this creep up in baseball. But and that's the next sport where you're probably going to see a lot of this happen.
We'll look towards the rest of Big 12 basketball when we come back. You've got the bottom line, 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. An interesting finish in Austin last night. Back with more next.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
That music means it's time for the fastest growing game show in the world. Take versus take. Wednesday edition today of the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. Clint Scott with Jamie Lint and Jackson Frazier. Jackson and I are your competitors today in the dome known as Take versus Take. This Wednesday, brother. Means Jamie has the questions. Jackson, how you feeling back there? Feeling confident? Feeling cocky?
Feeling good. Feeling ready. Haven't gotten to play in a while.
I'm 0-1 in the year of 2023. Yeah, this is your first time competing this year.
Mm-hmm. I'm anxious for some sideline reporters, you know, who do interviews right before games, whether it be football, basketball, whatever. I'm anxious for them to start asking that question that Clint always asked you and I. How you feel today? Are you confident about, about competing today?
I like asking only bad sideline questions to you guys. Save all the good ones for... Yeah. I don't know. Something else.
As long as you're asking a question and not making a statement. Because that's my pet
peeve. Can you comment on the confidence you feel? I don't know why I went into Kermit the Frog right there.
No.
Yeah.
Mm. That was,
yeah. Yeah.
No.
So Jackson Frazier, you're confident heading into today's game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You would say, like, Jackson, you look confident heading into this one.
Oh.
Yeah, you would tell him what he's feeling.
My favorite is the specific wording when they say, talk about how you feel confident today.
As opposed to what, like when they say talk about, as opposed to like writing it down on a piece of paper or sign language, signing it to you?
Coach, I've heard that you feel really good about your guard's play. Will you sing about that?
I feel good about 3-point percentage.
I just have this one little pet peeve that I just can't stand.
Jackson looking pretty cocky back there behind the mic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Arkansas.
All right. Here's my first question. It'll go to Mr. Scott. Worst call by an official that you can ever remember?
It was in the Chiefs Titans wild card round playoff game where Derek Johnson had a strip sack that would have given the Chiefs the ball back, and on that drive the Titans end up scoring and they win that game. And at that point, I mean, this was Alex Smith, this was yet to see a Chiefs playoff win in forever, it felt like. They called it. It was clearly a fumble, and they didn't call that he like had a knee down or anything like that. He strips it, takes the ball away. It's going to be a big turnover, big momentum change. The Chiefs, again, were up. It was almost like a game icing situation, and they gave it like forward motion, and he was in the pocket.
That's fun.
And it's like what is that call? And as a Chiefs fan who was just coming off the Andrew Luck fumble to himself touchdown comeback the year before. It was like, oh, here we go again. And that was also in the same game. It was worse because now this wasn't a penalty thing or a turnover or anything like that. When Marcus Mariota threw a touchdown pass to himself, it was kind of the cherry on top of here we go again. But still, that call was horrible.
All right, Jackson.
The Tuck rule, the Patriots-Raiders game. I mean, it's not even a rule anymore. One, that's how like stupid it was, and it started Tom Brady being Tom Brady, so that's a double negative there. But yeah, yeah, it wasn't even really called before it got called that one time, and then they took it away after.
Yeah,
it was like they forgot that it was a rule, and they're like, "Why is this still in here?"
Yeah,
that's technically he was correct.
I'm with Jackson. I think that was the worst ever. I mean, just figure it out, officials. And that's also, I think he also gets the advantage because he picked one that everybody knows about.
Everyone was watching that Derek Johnson hit.
No, they weren't. I don't even know it existed.
I'll show you in the break. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I won't ask you about it. Yeah. Talk about how this is an awful call.
And then I'll want to punch the second person today.
Punch or slap? Because you said slap earlier.
It'll be punch this time.
Or was it an open hand punch? My favorite wording of a slap of all time. Open hand punched Wisconsin. It was a slap. It was a slap.
Why does he keep going to the Kermit?
I don't know. Weird day, right, man.
Jackson with a 1-0 lead. I don't know why I'm even putting this question in because I don't really want to hear your answers, but I'm putting it in here today. Okay. Jackson, what's the grossest thing that you've ever eaten?
Oh,
I've only ever once gotten like the feeling of being sick from what I was eating, and it was at like a church camp event type thing, and it was just to eat a whole can of sardines as fast as you could, just like freshly opened, and I just chugged like just.
So it was like a competition, yeah, some sort of.
And so I was just like,
why would they do that to children?
Because if you won and you got like a gift card, like a Visa card.
Yeah, who
card.
Cares? But.
But yeah, I made it.
I'd be furious if I was the parents.
I didn't win, which was the worst part. And then I went to the bathroom smelling like fish and like gagging everywhere.
Oh, goodness.
And so I haven't been able to even like look at them since.
Okay, Clint.
There was one time, it's not in like the fish related, but just looking back now, it's like, why were we doing this? We're at a lock-in, my church, and we brought in the base of just Ritz crackers.
What kind of church are you people going to?
What? We have lock-ins?
No, you're both. I asked you what the grossest thing you've eaten, and both of you. I mean,
that's like what you do, right?
Nobody forces me to eat anything at church.
Mine was at like a lock-in at Dave and Buster's or something like that.
So we were trying to make like the worst crackers. It was Ritz crackers and the Cheese Whiz. You had to do that as a base, and everyone was like, "Oh, I've got Cool Whip, and I'm putting on like chocolate syrup with mine and sprinkles, and I put like pizza sauce, like different things trying to make it weird. Who could win and have the worst one?" And I said, "Forget this." I went out and got some mud and a little beetle that was in there, like a roly-poly thing, and put it on the cracker with cheese and ate and won.
And you ate it.
I ate the bug in mud. I ate it and I won. No one else has ever. That game ended so fast.
What did you win?
Nothing.
the
pride,
just,
the Kansas pride of well, like, winning the competition. It's the thrill of victory.
Well, we didn't even know there was a game happening.
Yeah, they just looked over and I was doing what?
Well, it got you a point in take versus take too. Mm-hmm. So, good gosh.
Stupid guy stuff, am I right?
Yes. Oh, boy. They would have, like, oh, here's the competition. And I'd have been like, I'm out. I lose. Okay, you guys do something stupid. I'll sit over here and be annoyed.
Mm-hmm. You would have went first. You would have went, like, the baseline. Like, oh, I just ate the cracker and cheese.
And
it's crazy.
It was good. Yeah. Okay, I win because I'm not grossed out. All right, we're tied at one.
I did make sure I went crunchy bug. I couldn't have done, like, a slimy bug. Wet bug.
Okay, bug. All right, you cannot answer one of your favorite team's rivals. Who is the fan base that annoys you the most?
Ooh. Can I still use Texas?
I guess so, that's fine.
Yeah, it's Texas. It's the Longhorns.
Well, you just admitted you're not, like, bought in just by saying that.
I can say this because I thought the Texas fan base was annoying when I was in the state of Kansas growing up.
I don't think
right?
our listening audience is going to feel the same about you anymore.
You know what?
That's disappointing. That hurts a little bit, Clint. We thought you were one of us. We thought you were leaning towards becoming one of us.
Talk about how you're twisting the answer.
Even if you were Even if Texas Tech was, you know, 1B, we thought we were 1B, but man.
You are. I feel like I can use that because, again, before you were 1B and there was just an A, I hated the University of Texas and their fan base. They were so annoying and entitled. And honestly, it's just gotten worse since I've been down here because I've got an even better view into it. But the Longhorns suck. They are the worst.
I still like your answer just because you said the Longhorns suck. Jackson?
I think I'm going to go with Duke, specifically Duke basketball. And I think that's mostly just because when I was in high school playing tournaments and you would meet people, everyone was a Duke fan. And at that time, I was like very into college basketball and all the players. So I'd just start asking them. And they would usually know like one guy. And that's like why they were a fan of that team. And that just always bugged me because they'd be like, oh, I love this dude. And I'd be like, oh, like, what do y'all think about this guy? And they'd be like, who? So it was just like, it was just annoying. It just seemed like they had like one player on the team. Even though that guy was only going to be there for a year.
Yeah, insert white kid who's been the villain of college basketball, and that was their favorite, and they couldn't name anybody else. Couldn't name who their forward was.
Yeah. Have you guys, neither one of you guys ever met an Ohio State fan?
I have, but the Ohio State fan that I know like helps run a charity, so it's probably not a great case for them.
He runs Lock-Ins where he serves people mud.
Well, they weren't serving them. I had to go outside and get it. Out of the box thinking, Jamie. I don't like that you asked what did I win, because I told you what I won. I won the competition we were having.
Oh, man. Well, you didn't win this one. Jackson gets the point.
Oh, are you? What?
Wait, I can't pick.
How many times do we have to ask? The person asking the questions is not up for a point or not getting a point.
I did not give myself a point. Ohio State is the correct answer. If you've ever met a real Ohio State fan, they are incredibly obnoxious.
Jackson didn't say Ohio State. He said Duke.
I should have given myself the point.
Highway robbery. It's the bottom line, 100.7.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the bottom line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Jacques-Yon Frazier, who was somehow your take versus take winner.
Because he was better?
Because I answered Texas as the most annoying fan base. Yeah, let that sink in, everybody. Just let it settle in there. Just let the pot simmer.
When the question was specifically not a rival.
And I asked if I could use that as an answer. From the team before I came down here, and you said yes. You said yes, and then you didn't use the answer.
Hey, there's a question on this test. Am I allowed to answer the wrong answer? They would say yes. They would say, yes, you're allowed, so I can get my red pen out and check that one off.
You knew what I asked. You knew I was asking to be in the rules.
I did.
So either you misled on purpose and then made your own rules, or Sark Cut Jamie actually thinks Texas isn't that bad. I mean, these are the options.
Clint and I were having a very civil conversation during the break in which he pointed out that Alabama fans were obnoxious.
Yes.
And he spoke of one particular tweet that he read where it said, after watching Georgia and TCU in the playoff, Alabama fans were like, clearly Alabama should have been in the playoff. Yeah. Clint's response to that, which I thought was terrific, was, well, maybe you shouldn't lose two games in the regular season, and you could be in the playoff. Well, maybe you shouldn't lose two questions and take versus take, and then you could have been the take versus take winner.
All I heard is I'm the Alabama of take versus take, and I am a dynasty. I'm a walking dynasty.
And annoying.
Pantsless.
Because you just called them annoying.
Pantsless and pilgrim shoed, as said earlier, walking around, annoying Jamie.
I don't know that I've ever met a real-life Alabama fan.
Yeah, I haven't either. It's just been through social media. And like I said, it's only around this time of year. And yeah, all of the rolling in of, oh, watching TCU in Michigan, Alabama clearly should have been in. They made a mistake. Well, the nice thing here, in a few seasons, you won't have to worry about having those, arguments and stuff. Because if you're, the 13th ranked team in saying that, I'm just going to laugh at you even more. But to Alabama, yeah, don't lose two regular season games. It's pretty simple. We get this on the H Flooring Center chat line. JL equals canceled. Child abuser. Cancel Jamie.
My kids would agree.
And head swats until you're a five star.
You know how, like, if an official says, well, both sides are complaining and I'm not calling it the right way, that means they know that they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
You know, I think if your kids are saying, man, you're too hard, you're too harsh, you're too hard on the kids, that's the way you know you're a good parent.
I like the math there.
If they like you, you're not hard enough on them, right?
Yeah, but are you their friend or their parent?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Right.
Are you helping them throw the party or are you busting it up?
There you go.
Yeah. This is the difference between someone growing up and being a fine, upstanding citizen and then not giving Jamie his ketchup like he asked.
Like
spoken
I
doobies
asked
by the dumpster. We get this on the chat line. We lost to Kansas by 3. No reason to be ashamed. Would have rather won.
No, I think that's really well said. Kansas is a really good basketball team. There's a reason that they're a top 5 team in the country. I didn't see anything last night from them that made me say, oh man, they're overrated or anything like that. I felt like you played well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were right there down the stretch, and I'm not saying I wanted to take away moral victories or anything like that, but wouldn't you say, Clint, if you played that well in all your Big 12 games, you're going to win the majority of them?
Yes, and yeah. Road games or home games.
Sure.
But again, I took away a similar feeling from the TCU loss that was a road game. And it was, yeah, you have things to work on, but it feels like things that you can fix. It doesn't feel like unfixable problems mm-hmm. right now.
TCU was the more frustrating game to me because I feel like, and I don't mean to disrespect TCU, I think they're a good team too, but I felt like you gave it away with your turnovers and your missed free throws.
And again, that's where I look at, it feels like the way you were turning the ball over and then the free throw issue has not really been an issue until it was that game. You haven't been awesome at it, but you weren't shooting 50%.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so I look at that and go, yeah, you gave that game away and you should be really frustrated by that. But again, from the two games that I've seen in Big 12 play, I don't think you're just going to win 5 and miss the tournament. Like again, like whatever Lenardi's prediction is right now with the update, it's more of, I see that you can do some damage in the conference. I do think you're a tournament team. You're going to win conference games this year, but you can sure win a lot more if you fix those issues.
Mm-hmm.
They showed a stat the other night, the top 10 most difficult schedules for all college basketball teams in the country are all Big 12 teams. Texas Tech was number 6. If that's not a case for all teams to potentially make the dance, I don't know what is. That's crazy. Yeah, again, you add in right now in the net ranking, the lowest one is 40, and that's Iowa State. I mean, every team in the conference is a top 40 net ranking team. Is bizarre.
Crazy.
It's time now for Jamie's My Question of the Day.
Jamie's Question of the Day on 100.7 The Score is presented by Bizarre Solutions. Call them today for a free cybersecurity audit.
All right, so with what you have seen through two games, I'm going to lay out an option for you. If I gave you right now in conference play 8-10, would you take it or would you roll the dice?
I think 8-10 gets you in this conference.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's a good question, Clint.
Thank you. Save that. It's high praise. In the cage with Nick Cage.
I don't know what that means.
It's a thinker.
It's a tough one. I mean, because I sit here and tell you, if you play like that, you're going to win the majority of them. I don't think I would. I'm not saying I'm going to sit here today, right here and now, and say, oh, yeah, you're going to finish above 8-10. But I'm just going to tell you, I don't think I would take it. Because I think you got the potential to win more.
Okay. Jackson?
Yeah, I wouldn't take it either. I think this team... has shown a lot just in the last few games, and they've shown that they still have a lot more room to grow and that they can grow this season. And I think this competition's, it's going to get the best out of them. And I think that it's not going to be like too late or anything for them to like, it's not, they're not even like really in a bad start. 0-2 sucks, but they did play two of the tougher teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once they get a little bit of the easier teams, it's going to start balancing it out, and you'll see. I think 8-10's on like the lower mark of what you could expect from them.
So I think, and I think the nation thinks this right now too, and predictions think this. I think if you're a Big 12 team right now, you can get in the tournament with 7 wins, and I think that you can win more than 8 games. I think you could have a pretty good conference record. I don't exactly know what I think your ceiling is for sure, but it's higher than 8-10 of what it could be. And so with that in mind, I don't think you're – I think at minimum you're winning 7 conference games. So I think you can jump this. So I would roll the dice here too. But my answer also would have been different before you played the last 3 non-conference games and finally look like an offense. If you asked me that 3 weeks before or 3 games before Big 12 play, I would have been like, yes, give me that and go to the tournament, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that may have, I don't know, seemed cowardly or, oh, you got to face what you can face. Don't believe in the team. I would have taken 8-10 at that point because I didn't like how you were playing. And also at that point, you're having the off-the-court Fardos type situation and questions around the program and that very not fun week that was happening. But now, I mean, I know it's been 2 losses, but again, I think that Kansas and when Mike Miles is gone, said this earlier, I think you face 2 of the best 3 teams in the conference. And Mike Miles certainly was going in the second half. Unfortunately, when you face them, they're at TCU, so they still have to come here. I think that you can win more than 8 games.
Yeah, I think this is a great, great chat here. Excuse me, on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Someone says you get 8 more at home. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely not taking it because you feel like you're going to win the high majority of those, right? Like mm-hmm. 6 would be a low number.
Yeah, I agree.
To go 6-3 at home in Big 12 play, that seems low to me. So I bet it's closer to 7-2.
Mm-hmm. And here's
so
the other side of that too is
you're talking about only winning 1 more game in Big 12 play.
Yeah,
on the road, 1 Big 12 road game. Mm-hmm. Nah, no, you're gonna get more than 1.
And is this the kind of dominant as of right now defense you've seen over the past couple of years? No, but it's still a style of play that travels. And so I don't think you're gonna have too
like
many duds.
A bunch of times at TCU, like 23 times it traveled.
Yeah. So
sorry, bad joke.
Well,
they weren't all travels. Sometimes we just threw the ball to the other team. Threw it to the out of bounds.
I'll pass on my dad joke.
You will?
Turnover joke there as well.
Yeah. Are you?
It's bottom good. Line 100.7 the score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 the score.
Tech Talk. We'll go all the way to 6 o'clock right here on 100.7 the score at 6 o'clock. It's the high school fan zone. Tonight's coaches will be from Lubbock High, followed by Friendship, ending with Lubbock Cooper. Take a look back at the season so far. Some of the Cap Rock Classic results. All 3 of those teams were involved there. And look ahead at what's next as they get in the thick of district play. Lady Raider basketball is in action tonight. Pregame will start at 6:30 on 107.7 Yes FM, taking a top 25 Kansas team on the road there in Lawrence. You can also hear just the game after the high school fan zone right here on 100.7 The Score starting at 7. Hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, answers to the take versus take questions. Or you can call us on the Benchmark hotline, 806-771-0973. Don't forget, you can take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. We got this question earlier from Shelly. J.O., what was the biggest positive takeaway from last night? And yes, Clint, I am intentionally not asking you. Give me one day to get over it. Fair. Understand.
I just felt like you went toe-to-toe with a really good basketball team and almost came out on top. I hate that you lost your a home game in Big 12 play because you want to get as many of those as possible. But I think Kansas is a good basketball team. I just don't think I come out of that game last night feeling worse about the team. As a matter of fact, I may have come out of the game last night feeling better about the team. So you played not your best basketball. One of your key guys was still not at 100%, and Daniel Bacho, I mean, that was obvious. And you were right there. You were right there. So I just I don't think anybody should be panicking at this point.
You know what I haven't really seen be brought up, and maybe this is just because of how the game went down, and I certainly understand that, but the home streak being snapped hasn't really been kind of touched on, and how impressive that has been, regardless of who you played in the non-conference. But I don't know, is that a big deal to you, or did you expect it to end at some point this year?
I'll be honest with you. Winning all your home games in the Big 12 last year, one of the best, or if not the best conference in the Big 12, or excuse me, in the country, was extremely impressive to me. And mm-hmm. I was extremely proud of that. The winning streak at home, I mean, I'm happy about it. I don't want you to lose. But I'm not writing home to mama about that one when you've got so many games against much lower caliber teams, right?
Right. And
so that didn't mean as much to me as the fact that you went undefeated in Big 12 play at home last year.
Yeah.
For the whole season you did, but it's the Big 12 games that is super impressive.
And I don't think part of the reason that haven't seen anybody really build an outrage factory for it is I agree with what you're saying. I don't think you should be, especially when you add in that a lot of that streak has been against competition that you should be piling up home wins against if they're on your schedule. But also with what you did is extremely hard from last year. I mean, it's ridiculous to do.
Sure.
Very few have done it. And there's teams with significant home court advantages,
including in the conference. Excuse me, including beating the defending national champ from the previous year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also the future national champ from that season in Kansas.
And with Texas Tech, you add in those two, and then you add in the Texas game. I mean, there was every Big 12 game is a big game. But then you add in the extra emotion that you had in a lot of those, and you took care of business.
Sure.
It was incredibly, incredibly impressive, hard to duplicate.
Mm-hmm.
Washington has actually been pretty good the last few games, including last night, but I can't argue that point on his early games this season.
Yeah, I think he's getting better and better, and that's a guy we're going to see more and more of, it appears to me.
Yeah.
I think we saw some of that last night, but... Yeah, I bet he ends up getting more minutes now.
Don't like Harmon much, but Washington is worse. He can't score in a turnover waiting to happen. They are the glaring weakness of this team. I see Washington and just think, oh no, he's young, so maybe he gets better, but he's not Big 12 ready, in my opinion.
Didn't Washington have the bucket to cut it to one last night?
Right now, I think when you look at what their strengths are, when you're comparing the two.
It was all about him. I mean, took the length of the court and kind of drove through the lane, got around some people and scored.
Yeah, yes.
I just think he needs more minutes and we'll see him continue to improve.
And what to the texter's point, that's what I was saying. And this is what you said too, early in the year. Yeah, that was exactly what I thought. But boy, this dude's young and he is going to be a turnover, walking turnover at times. And that's just the frustration of being a freshman. But Pop Isaacs was too at the start. And he's cleaned that up. When you're comparing the two right now between Washington and Harmon, I really think that in the two games you've seen in Big 12 play, Washington's played better than Harmon.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question.
Is it perfect? No, but again, that's just going to come with experience, or at least you hope it does. And the other side of it too is that you hope that Harmon just fixes whatever's going on with him and the issues that he has in the half-court offense.
It's funny because, I mean, clearly I was completely wrong in this. But I totally thought from the videos that I had seen, it looked to me like Pop Isaacs could do just about everything, but he looked like a true point guard. And he is, that is not his game at all. Mm-mm. He is a spot up shooter, okay, and a deadly one. And I love his game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing it. But it does feel like you're back in that mode of you don't have the point guard that you, you know, you really want right now.
I don't think you have the point guard that you really want right now, but I think you're closer than what you were last year by a long stretch. Because I agree, I think in a perfect world, Pop Isaacs could just be a, not just be a spot-up shooter, but that could be his main focus. Because he can drive the ball and finish. He can do that, but running the offense through him from, like, facilitating, it's not what he is.
Yeah.
And although it still feels like, yeah, you're maybe forcing a couple guys right now by necessity to things that maybe aren't truly their strengths, but you're still way better off than what you were in that regard. At least I think you are from last year's roster.
Probably fair.
The team better improve quickly or you might be watching Isaacs play as a junior for someone other than Tech. Just the reality.
I don't even know if I don't even know if that's what decides it. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it him thinking that Tech's gonna be a great team, or is it that somebody else is offering him more NIL money? I have no idea. In each player, it may be different. So I don't know what the deciding factor is for those guys. I just know the NIL has changed college basketball.
And I just do. I hate that that is a huge part of when you're looking at a young player for your team and you're really excited about him, but then still that's hanging in the back of your mind, as it should be, because it is a reality that, boy, I think he's going to be really good as a junior, but is it going to be here?
Mm.
That's part of the college basketball world you live in.
Every offseason, it's the silly season, as they call it. I think they call it that in some sport, where everybody just changes teams. That's what we get in college basketball now.
SZN season. It's the bottom line, 100.7 The Score. No diggity when we come back.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time to bust out your digitometers and play a little no diggity. Get the bottom line at 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott with Jamie Lynn and Jackson Frazier. You can keep hitting us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Today, I bring you a... we want to talk about you're not in that situation, or at least I hope everyone is not in this situation or hasn't had to experience this specific one. I don't know how you would have, but you feel the pit that they had in their stomach.
Oh, man. Okay.
There's lots of ways you can burn through money, you know?
Sure.
Just spending, gambling.
Baseball cards.
Baseball cards, fishing stuff.
Under Armour shoes.
Pizza. Mm. I was going to get that second. Who just gets one pizza? Even for just themselves.
You burn through money through pizza?
Well, especially if you DoorDash, it's like, okay, this pizza or whatever the company you use, Grubhub, all those ones. And it's like, this pizza is $12. Oh, you should get a drink. Okay, well, it's, you know, $15 together. Oh, I don't want to go get it. So then you do one of those. And it's like, oh, by the way, your total is $96.
Do you use those services?
Every once in a while. It's pretty rare. We have to be really, really don't want to cook, but also don't want to leave, like that combination, which doesn't always get there, but it's probably like 10 times a year.
I'm so cheap. I don't even get the pizza delivered. I go pick it up.
Usually that's what we do, but
yeah.
I've
never used any of the other services.
Most of, I guess the ones that we've really used like that even have the been ones, groceries, okay. The one grocery store.
Even the ones that claim they're free, I'm like, I don't believe them. There's going to be a charge on there somewhere.
Oh, I do look at it now, and it's like,
I trust these people.
I like, if we're making that decision, I'm just like, oh, only a $2 delivery fee? All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. I can save one of my arms.
See, I think I'd actually trust it more if it was just $2. I'd be like, okay, I see that it's $2. Mm-hmm. They're not going to surprise me at the end and go, oh, no, it's $8. Yeah.
Well, you don't have to worry about tipping the delivery driver then or anything like that either. That's on top of that, you add in.
See, that's also a positive right there. Mm-hmm. Save a little more money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have to worry if he came from out by the dumpster or anything like that.
You know what's been a bucket list thing
Plus,
for me?
Plus, if they get there and it's wrong, I can't like immediately say, like I asked for.
Oh, see, that, see that's different.
Because the delivery guy's like, you didn't ask me, dude. Yeah. I mean, I'll take it back and I'll be back in like an hour.
Dude, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not the one back there putting mushrooms on stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing that's been on my bucket list. And I don't know how to run into the situation because I don't think places make this promise anymore. But I've always wanted to be like, past 30 minutes, pizza's free. Like, I've always wanted to do that.
Man, I bet the delivery guy loves people like you.
But no, I've never have, though. That's just, I've always wanted to. And pizzas have certainly taken longer than 30 minutes when you order them at like 10:30 at night on a Saturday. You know, yeah. Not that I've done that in the past month.
While we were in Houston, I ordered some pizza. I told you the story already. And like, I ordered it on the app and immediately, and I say immediately, like a minute later after it goes through, I get a phone call. Did you just order blah, 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 blah from blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, yes, 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 I did. Well, I just want you to know it's going to take probably hour and a half, could be more than 2 hours. And I was like, gosh. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I got nowhere to go. Yeah, I'm good with that. And she's like, okay. It was there in like less than 45 minutes. She totally just didn't want to make the order, or they didn't want to deliver it to the hotel. They were so wanting me to go, okay, never mind. Cancel the order. I'm so glad that I didn't. Because I could tell in her voice that she was so disappointed in me.
Well, my favorite part of that.
I have to do my job. What? How am I going to post on the gram?
It's going to take like 4 hours. That's what I would do if I was some of the like sad people. Like, yeah, the wait time is like 7 days.
Yeah.
This is a Taco Villa. What are you talking about? Yeah, I can see seats over there. Yeah, those are reserved. My favorite part of that you left out is so. I get there at the hotel, and I'm walking down to go meet my friend for supper. I don't even know who all's there or not. And Jamie walks out, clearly just finishing his workout. And I'm like, oh, where are you? You just do a workout? He's like, yeah, now I'm waiting on my pizza. I'm like, you're my hero, dude.
Actually, ordered it while I was running on the treadmill, on the app.
That is the ultimate, I'm going to earn this.
Yes. And I told myself, I am running until it gets here. I'm running until it gets here. And so you could see when she said 2 hours, I was like, oh boy, we're going to have to walk part of this.
Yeah, I think the guy you're looking for is passed out in the workout room. You just dropped the pizza on him. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, but I don't think, like, that's not even really a promise though anymore, right? Like, they tell you, hey, it's going to be 45 minutes or something like that. So is that the time you go off of?
That's what I expect.
Maybe I should just try that, because what are they going to do? Yeah. Like, still tip them?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Problem is, usually pay for it before. Anyways, lots of ways to burn up money. How about actually burning money? Ooh. Ooh. A man in Italy is trying to recover more than $20,000 in government bonds after he decided to hide them up his chimney. He was worried about burglars finding them in his apartment in Rome, so he stashed them in his chimney and didn't tell anyone, including his wife. She decided to light a fire around Christmas, and all of the bonds burned up. He says he walked in, saw the fire, and almost passed out. Now, the good news is, I guess, is that government bonds in Italy come with serial numbers, so if you have the numbers and lose the bonds, you can still get them reissued, but it's not clear if he's been able to track those down just yet.
Sounds like there's hope for him.
Sounds like someone's trying to find a silver lining to burning up $20,000. Here's your no diggity situation of the day. Shouldn't store valuable goods, especially if they're paper or money related, up a space in the house that's designed to be set on fire.
Win 100% no ticket.
Oh, shocker there, Jackson. What's your ticketometer?
100% no ticket.
Okay. I thought he was somehow going to be less diggity than Eagles not being the number one seed somehow. I don't know, but...
Well, you can never go 100% in the NFL, but you can go 95%. Just say 100%. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And then not tell your wife about
it. I think I've heard of people stashing money in the fridge or the freezer.
Under the mattress.
Under a mattress, yep. I think that's one you see in the movies.
I had a...
Or you hear stories about people moving into a house and they demolish a wall or whatever and there's money in there.
I had a... I didn't have a bank account for a while. As a true...
Just went around with cash, making everything rain.
Well, I didn't have a lot, but I did.
Making it rain everywhere.
I had a... the job that I was doing at first paid in cash. Makes it sound super sketchy. It was a moving service.
Did you have to dance at any point?
Oh, yeah. I was the pantsless pilgrim shoe guy. I'm just rock chalking my way through college. Sure. Sure. I'm not disappointing my parents at all. Well, I still am, just in other ways. But I had a money drawer that, like, looking back, if we had been burgled, I mean, that would have been like the first thing gone. And it's so easy. I wouldn't have been able to be mad. I was like, I just had it where my toothpaste goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My wife has done wonders with me. She's still got a long ways to go.
Yeah. One of our kids has a terrible habit of, like, getting money from babysitting or whatever and just, like, leaving it around in the kitchen or the living room. You know, just like where she leaves everything else, her shoes or whatever.
It's like on the counter?
Yeah, so we'll just like scoop it up and put it away.
Just like steal it, put it in your pocket?
We don't like use it, but we just scoop it up and put it away. So at some point, probably we'll give it to her.
You should just start spending it as a punishment.
Right? It's like, learn to take care of your stuff, okay?
Well, this is great. And, like, you don't have to, buy her school supplies, use her own funding.
The worst part is, like, an hour later, she's not like, hey, do you guys see the money? Like, what are we doing?
That's so strange. It doesn't cross her mind.
What have we done as parents?
Oh. Yeah, like, did I have $5 here?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That sounds like a fun little, like a college gift. If you store up enough.
And sometimes I'll feel bad about it and I'll, like, say to her, hey, did you put away the money you made? Oh, wonder where that is. Go ask your mother.
Which is so weird. It was, you know, in your guys' back sock drawer.
Yeah, it's funny.
Bottom line, 100.7 the score.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 the score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.